Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Another beautiful morning to praise God for His grace. And that is especially what we're going to celebrate today as we take a look at how God loves the lost, and especially the joy He has when someone who is lost is found. Today in our worship, we'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper. So if you are a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. If you are not a member here or of a church within our fellowship, but you'd like to commune with us in the future, please speak with myself or Pastor Colander after the service. I'd love to talk about how we can make that happen. Before we begin with our worship, just another announcement about our new connection cards. So for members, if you could just put your last name here on the front, and on the back side you'll have a place for your first names, for you and everyone in your family. And also, since today is a communion Sunday, let us know if you communed or not so that we can track those numbers internally. Thank you. If you are visiting with us this morning, give us as much information as you can so that we can connect with you. We'd love to do that. And if you have any questions, let us know about that too. One other note, you'll notice on these new connection cards, there is no spot for the date. If you can, put that date somewhere in a space that's not being filled or somewhere on the back. We'll certainly consider that in the redesign for future orders. Well, that's enough of that. Let's begin our worship of our God. Now, we don't come here to praise Him because of His wrath and hatred. We come here because something else has called us here, and that's what we'll celebrate with our opening hymn, 339. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray that Your mercy and grace may always go before and follow after us, that, loving You with undivided hearts, we may be ready for every good and useful work. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Today, as we look at God's love for the lost, our first lesson comes from Hosea chapter 3. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Hosea 3. The Lord said to me, "Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes." So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and lethic of barley. Then I told her, "You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way toward you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to His blessings in the last days." The word of the Lord. In the Old Testament times, people would join together to sing psalms to God. We continue that tradition here with this great repentance psalm, Psalm 51.
Thank you.
In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to them, talking to them about a member who had gotten caught up in a sin that they were actually cheering on. And so Paul tells them, no, confront that sin. Well, here we see the fruit of that now that as Paul gives them new directions because of what's happened. From 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him, so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there is anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. The word of the Lord. We speak together the verse of the day from Romans chapter 15 that shows where we receive this hope for lost sinners. Alleluia. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Alleluia. Now please stand in honor of the words and works of Jesus. The gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 15, where Jesus provides two pictures of how much love God has for the lost, but not just that, how much joy he has when they're found. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house to search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith in that gospel according to an ancient creed called the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day. Please note the instructions on the hymn of the day. The choir will sing verses 1 and 3. All of the women in the congregation are invited to sing verse 2, and then all of the congregation for verse 4. sisters who were once lost but now are found. God's grace is yours, thanks to Jesus, our Savior. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the first lesson in Hosea chapter 3, if you'd like to follow along there. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your grace. Amen. I was watching TV the other day, and I saw a commercial for the new iPhone. Have you seen that? There are three cameras on the back of that thing, three different types of cameras. And I got to thinking, boy, our culture really loves pictures. See pictures everywhere on social media. We just love to take pictures. But we're not alone. God loves pictures too. Did you know that? Yes, you did. Because of all the pictures he gives us in the scriptures. Look at all the pictures God has for us about how much he loves us, how much he loves the lost, how much he does for us. Think about some of those pictures. The father who loves his children. A farmer who plants a tree and patiently waits for fruit. A hen who gathers her chicks under her wings. All of the sacrifices in the Old Testament were all a picture of how far God's love would go through Christ. In the gospel lesson, we hear about someone searching for a lost sheep, a lost coin, but not just that, the joy they have over when one of them is found. So many pictures that show about God's love. Yet even still, with all these pictures and all the times we hear them time and again, our guilt can still sometimes get to us. Satan can sometimes still get to us and make us think not just, does God love me, but how could he possibly love me? In a little bit, we're going to sing the phrase, confused and foolish, oft I've strayed. Ain't that the truth? All of the mistakes that we make, God brings us back to him, and yet we run from his loving arms after other gods, after false idols. We think, how could God possibly love me? Or how could God possibly love my child who has strayed from the faith? They had a Christian upbringing. They knew who Jesus is and how important he is, and yet now they view him as nothing. How could God possibly still love them? Or even, how could God possibly love that person I hate? Does he know what they did to me or to someone else? And God loves them just as much as me? How is that possible? The answer to all of those we don't find by looking in here, and we don't find by looking at anyone else. We only find those answers by looking at him and what he reveals to us about himself. What he reveals about himself in just these five verses in Hosea show a lot about God and his love. We see in this picture that he provides that the Lord doesn't just love. He faithfully loves. The picture God provides rests within the marriage of the prophet Hosea and his wife Gomer. God told Hosea, go and find a promiscuous and adulterous woman and marry her. What a command. But it was meant to be a picture of the Israelites and how they had committed spiritual adultery on him. And yet God still loved them faithfully. So Hosea, sure enough, went and married Gomer. And they built a life together. They had three kids. But now here in chapter 3, we find out that Gomer has apparently committed adultery on Hosea with another man. She's apparently not living in his house anymore and has even gone to the point where she has had to become an indentured slave to survive. Now you'd think to yourself, all right, well, God tried. That's the picture. No, this provided God a beautiful opportunity to emphasize the picture all the more. He tells Hosea, go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. I hear that last part and you almost think that's a little comical. All this other serious stuff, and then we hear something about loving raisin cakes? But this was a very serious matter to God because of what these raisin cakes symbolized. This symbolized their devotion to pagan gods. In Canaan, there was a god called the Queen of Heaven. And one of the offerings you could bring to her was raisin cakes. So that meant the Israelites were taking the time to knead the dough, taking the time to bake it, taking the time to cut it, taking the time to devote this as an offering to a false god. Now, before we think that, how could they? You and I, too, sadly, can bow down to other gods and take time and devotion. We give them different names. For the Canaanites, it was the Queen of Heaven, Asherah, Baal. For you and me, maybe the names are more like the Benjamins, the Mercedes and BMWs, the Apples and Samsungs, the Facebooks and Instagrams, the pet sins. We each know the name of ours. Or the self. We know that name. Those are spiritual adultery too. And yet, even though Gomer had forfeited this love from Hosea and had gone off another place, God still told Hosea, show your love to her again, because that's the picture I want to show. So, Hosea says, I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and lethek of barley. He paid the price he needed to get her out of slavery. Then he told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way toward you. Hosea graciously brings her back into his home and provides for her. Obviously, as he brings her back, she was not to have any other relationships with any other men, but also she wouldn't be intimate with Hosea for a while. This was meant to be a period of self-denial and abstinence. This would give Gomer the time to reflect on what her sin had done in her relationship with Hosea and Hosea's grace in still preserving that. But what did that picture have to do within this picture? Well, God says through Hosea, for the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. This too was a picture of God's love. This is what we would call tough love. God was going to give them a difficult time. There was going to be a time where they wouldn't have king or prince. He was going to take away their national security and governmental leadership. He was going to take them into exile. But he also wouldn't allow them to have any other gods, good or bad. They wouldn't have their sacred stones where they bowed down to Canaanite gods or the household idols where they bowed down in their homes. But they also wouldn't have the blessings of the worship that he had given them. They wouldn't have the sacrifices at the temple. They wouldn't be able to seek counsel from the high priest who wore the ephod. It was to be a time of spiritual self-denial and spiritual abstinence so that they could reflect on what their sin had done with God and so that they could reflect on God's grace in preserving them. God does the same thing for you and I. God can say, okay, you want to get caught up in that sin? Go ahead. And then after the guilt piles up and it eats away at us, we realize there's something that's not right here. Or we can get so deep into that sin that we start to realize how empty it is. It's fleeting. It's unfulfilling. It saps our true joy. What God is doing is the same thing, humbling us. And he's preparing our hearts out of his love. Because that is right where God's love comes in. And the fact that it is faithful love. As he says through Hosea, afterward the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Because of his faithful love, the Lord is about to bring about a big change in the hearts of Israel. The Israelites would once again return and seek the Lord their God. That word in the Old Testament, when it's used, that seek word, it's used for when you seek to gain or regain something. The Israelites would come back to the land, and they would seek to regain the Lord. Not any of those other gods, but the Lord their God, Him alone. And particularly one man they would seek. You know him. You seek him too. Hosea calls him David their king. Now David had already been dead for over 250 years, so we know it's not the actual King David. This is Jesus. The one who was promised to come from David's line and sit on his throne forever. That was the one who Israel was going to seek after once again. When you're an emptied, broken sinner, there is only one hope you have, and that is Christ. He was the one pictured in all of their sacrifices. He is the embodiment of God's faithful love. Now, when you talk about Jesus, there are a lot of people out there that say, only talk about that faithful love. Don't talk about any wrath or punishment. But here we can say that's not the case. Because when you're a Christian, there are two big truths that you're acknowledging. And they both meet at the cross. The first thing, Jesus didn't die on that cross for nothing. On that cross, he paid for every single one of our sins. Every time we have committed spiritual adultery on the Lord and not followed that first commandment, or all the other commandments that follow it, everyone paid by Jesus. That is what our sins deserve. And because of that, though, now you and I have forgiveness, we have salvation, we have peace with God. You and I have our relationship reconciled with God. We have a new life in faith. Such great blessings. And that's what the Lord would bring the Israelites to realize. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. They would come to him in a spirit of trembling and fear over what their sin had done, but they would also come to his blessings. Everything that Jesus had done for them. This will happen, God says. And sure enough, he followed through on it. Why? Because God doesn't just love, he faithfully loves. He doesn't just promise his love, he follows through on it every time. And those Israelites came back from exile, and sure enough, they sought the Lord and Jesus. Now, with this whole picture, I want you to think about how all of this worked. What did Gomer do to deserve the faithful love from Hosea? Nothing. She chased after sin and other men. She was the opposite of deserving. Yet, Hosea still graciously showed his love to her. What did Israel do to deserve this faithful love from the Lord? Nothing. They chased after other gods after the Lord told them not to, time and again. Yet the Lord still faithfully worked out repentance in their hearts as a people. What did you and I do to deserve this faithful love from the Lord? Nothing. But our lack of righteousness did not negate God's love for us. The Lord faithfully loves. Now, this alone is enough to strike all arrogant self-righteousness out of our hearts. If we think to ourselves, how could God possibly love me? There is a part of us that goes, well, I can think of a lot of reasons. But there's that other part of us that realizes our guilt and cries out, praise the Lord, that the answer isn't in here. How could God possibly love my child who is strange? Because the Lord faithfully loves. Their sin didn't negate his love for them either. The Lord is still searching for them, wanting to rejoice with all of heaven when they're found. How could God possibly love that person I hate? Same reason he loves you. The reason isn't found in you any more than it is in them. It's all found in God and who He is. He wants them to come trembling to Him and to His blessings, just like we have. They're His creation too, and the Lord faithfully loves. Now you and I know that Scripture talks about rejecting that love and unbelief means there will be an end where it's only trembling and no blessings. So now that you and I have that knowledge, what do you think God wants us to do with it? Well, if the gospel lesson is any indication, He wants us to join Him and heaven in the joy over one sinner who repents. Who knows? There's somebody around you right now. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. Who has been humbled, who has been emptied in their lives. And guess who has the message to fill them up? There's only one message that can provide true spiritual joy, and that's the message of Christ that we have. He died for sinners. And we know what that message can do because the Lord pictures that too. Think of all the pictures. We've got rain coming down from the heavens. It doesn't return to the Lord empty, Isaiah says. It's always effective. That word can plant a seed in someone's heart and cause it to grow like a plant. The Lord can take someone from being an enemy of God to a child of God. The Lord can break the chains of sin. The Lord can bring fruit from a tree that had no fruit previously. And now we can add to that list of pictures. The Lord can reconcile husband and wife so that they love each other faithfully. So many pictures God provides of His love. I think God would really like the redesign of the iPhone. We can see here in Hosea 3 from this picture that the Lord doesn't just love. The Lord faithfully loves. Amen. Please stand. May the love of Christ our Savior guard your hearts and minds through faith in Him. Amen. We now join together in a song called Create in Me on page 9. Be seated for the offering. This morning, as part of the prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, and especially Phil Swan, Dan Johnson, Carrie Schwieger, Judy Washburn, Bud Ludke, John Dosher, Sandra Hansen, and Gail McCabe's daughter, Kelly. We also include a prayer for those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. We pray. Lord of love, we praise you for revealing who you are and what you've done for us all. We thank you for the gracious forgiveness you've given to us and pictured for us in your word. Guide us to honor that love and be faithful to you as you have been faithful to us. Also give us courage to speak of your faithful love to all who need to hear it. Gracious Father, please help everyone who is faced with health challenges this week. Make your love and power known in their lives, their families' lives, and through their doctors and nurses. Lift their spirits with the resurrection of Christ and the hope of his return. Continue to bless all of those who are celebrating birthdays. Give them many more years to grow in knowledge of you so they can continue to glorify you in thought, word, and deed. Lord, we thank you for the love of those celebrating anniversaries. In your divine wisdom, continue to allow both good days and bad to draw their hearts and lives closer to each other, that they may be an example of the faithful love you have for us all. We ask all of this in Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand in honor of the gospel and the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then the Lord took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen. Please stand. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 375. Please note we'll sing 1, 2, 3, and 6. Morning. God is good. It's a pleasure worshiping with you this morning. Big welcome to all of our visitors. If you have any questions about anything, let us know. Please also make sure to check out the Welcome Center over there for information about our ministry. And there's also a gift over there if somebody's there to hand it to you. So you can always ask one of us. Please stick around. Sunday school and Bible study coming up here in between services. There's going to be one joint Bible study here in the sanctuary. And then the Sunday school will meet down, and I believe it's 8:03 is where they meet. Is that correct? Yep. All right. Today, there's Jesus Cares worship again. So that's our special needs worship service. We're going to have that today at 2 p.m. So if you can come and volunteer, that'd be great. Or if you know of anybody interested, let them know. If not, at least just pray for it. God be praised that we get to do that. A few announcements for you coming up. We've got a call meeting for our new principal on October 20th after the second service. So please mark your calendars for that. There's also going to be a Trunk or Treat event, our outreach pre-evangelism event, October 25th. That's Friday, October 25th at 7 p.m. This is an opportunity for us to get families and whatnot here on our campus, get them a little bit more comfortable with a church setting, and get to share the love of Jesus. If you'd like to decorate a trunk, we encourage trunks, obviously, you know, that aren't too scary, and costumes that aren't too scary. But a neat idea would be like to do a Bible story, which would be kind of neat as you share some candy too. We'll also be sharing some church information to those who go through the line as well. So if you'd like to help with that or volunteer, let us know. If you can't help, or even if you are helping and you want to help donate some candy, some extra candy, like last year we kind of started running out. We had so many people. It was really nice to have some donated candy that we could kind of hand around. If you can do that, please let us know. There's a sign up for that. There should be in the back there. If not, I'll grab it from the church office. Area Reformation Service is coming up. Can you believe it? We're already getting close to Reformation time again. November 3rd at 4 p.m. here at St. Mark's. Once again, we get to have all of our brothers and sisters in fellowship come and celebrate with us what God did for his church at the Reformation. Later that week, the 50th anniversary gala is coming. That's the one I'm going to settle on, that pronunciation, gala. I'm going to do that. So 50th anniversary gala is what we'll be celebrating, November 9th. So mark your calendars for that as well. If you want to purchase tickets for that, you can talk to the Schlittenhearts. There's also some back there at the table. I believe online we'll have something on there coming up soon too, if you'd like to do that. Later on today, we're going to welcome some new members into our fellowship, Mike and Hannah Heineman and their kids, Ava and Aiden. If you get a chance, if you see them in between services, maybe you've bumped into them in Bible study, welcome them to our church family. We're overjoyed. We're going to officially receive them into membership in the second service. Now I'd like to invite Ellie Ennis to come up to talk about some LWMS opportunities coming up.
Good morning. Are you a confirmed member of St. Mark's? Are you female? If you answered yes to these questions, did you know that you are automatically a member of LWMS, the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society? We have the special privilege to host the LWMS Fall Rally on Saturday, October 19th. There's no need to roll out of bed at O'Dark 30 or travel any farther than you did to be here this morning. Everyone is welcome. The rally theme is Let the Little Children Come to Me. Our speaker is Ruth Schmitzer, who will share our work overseas and kids care. Registration and continental breakfast starts at 8:45, followed by the opening devotion at 9:30. Lunch and Bible study will follow. The day concludes with voting for home and world mission projects for 2020, a short business meeting, and a closing devotion. Please consider the rally and attending that rally for all or part of the day. We welcome our men also and guests to attend. There's a sign-up sheet on the shelf under the LWMS bulletin board. Signing your intention to attend will help us plan for lunch. And speaking of food, if you can help by providing a hot dish or dessert, please see Clara Jackson, Carolyn Welch, Kitty Falk, or me. Today is also Mission Box Sunday. 100% of our offering goes to our mission projects. And next Sunday is the last Sunday that our offerings will count for the fall rally. The pink large mission box is on the shelf under the LWMS bulletin board. And there are also some of these small boxes that you're welcome to take and put in your coins during the week or the month. And we usually collect on the first Sunday of the month. Thank you for giving me this time to share a bit about LWMS. And now please greet each other.